Micah chapter 6 and verse number 8, Micah the prophet of God said, "He has showed thee what is good." And then he says, "What does the Lord require of thee?" He showed thee what is good. What does the Lord require of thee? But to love mercy, do justly, and walk humbly with thy God. Summation of the Old Testament is right here. This matches up with what we read of the Ten Commandments. The first four deal with honoring God in his righteous way. And number four is remember the Sabbath day to keep him holy. Notice that in this regard, the last six of those Ten Commandments dealt with man's relationship to his fellow man, beginning with our father and our mother, and closing out with not to bear false witness against our neighbor and not to be covetous. We find ourselves in this passage of Scripture, Micah 6 and verse 8, honoring all of the above. He has showed thee what is good. What do we do to people that show us something that's good? How do we feel about somebody out on the side of a road somewhere and they're waving at us and we slow down and we roll down the window just a little bit because we don't know exactly who they are. But that person said, "There's a bridge out up ahead. We need to detour. There's a bridge out up ahead." What do we do when we find out that is true, that's accurate, our detour got us on our journey, we miss going off into the ravine, or into the water, into death, perhaps? What do we think about that individual? Well, we spread the word. We spread the word about Henry or Tom or Sue or whoever it was that told us about that good thing for our lives. It was good for us to have that. What do we think about God who's in his word says, "You should do this and you should not do these other things"? What do we think about a God who tells us things that are good? Is it not that we're thankful and very happy to know him? Very appreciative for his guidance and his direction? Do we find ourselves saying, "Lord, I have more enjoyment in this pleasure, more enjoyment in this wrongdoing, more enjoyment in this deception, and therefore I really enjoy this a lot better than I enjoy following your word and your way"? When all of a sudden there's an arrest, all of a sudden there's jealousy, all of a sudden there's anger and mad and regret and threats. Now then, what do we want? "I wish I'd followed the way of God," we say. "I wish I'd followed the Lord's word rather than my own pleasures and vanities of life." He has showed thee what is good. Micah 6 and 8. When he sums up this idea, he says, "And what doth the Lord require of thee?" There are some things the Lord just requires. And when we look up that word "require" in the basic teachings that are given in the Bible and in our common Webster's dictionary, the word "require" is not a choice. It is a qualification. It is a requirement. It is a necessity. What does the Lord require of thee? This is something that the Lord didn't give us as a suggestion. He didn't recommend this to us as, "If you really want to, if you really want to be more holy, you'll do these things." He required this of us. He insisted this be done. "Love mercy," he says. "Do justly," he says. "Walk humbly with thy God," he says. What do we find here in God's word about how those people were to live, as the prophet Micah said? Well, there would be people who obeyed the Ten Commandments of God back there in Exodus 20. They will remember the Lord and worship him and honor him. That's a good thing. The Lord has taught us good things. And the Lord required of us that out of those things we love mercy. Mercy for whom? Mercy for just our nation? Mercy for just our color? Mercy for just our workers? Mercy for just my family members? Do we go about limiting what the Lord has said and feel like that it's the requirement that the Lord has given? Some people do. But let's repent of that. Let's turn and go the other way. Let's remember that loving mercy brings about an awful lot of good outcome. When you and I are merciful to someone, when let's put it on the shoe on the other foot. When we need mercy, how do we feel about those that show us kindness and mercy, forgiveness and grace? We owe a big debt. But that debt is something that is mercifully extended. Extra time may be given. The crop may be considered. And after the crop has failed this year, there's another year to come. What do we feel about that banker? What do we feel about that individual? I know of some situations in these 54 years of time of trying to preach the gospel that were rough and rugged. Some congregations had controlling individuals in those congregations. They were in the leadership of those. They were in the purse strings of the congregation. They demanded and they insisted a certain way of thing to be done, only a certain way to be followed. And they were demanding all the way. And there were those who objected to that. They were thrust away, pushed away, urged to leave the congregation. They were not going to be tolerated to be rejecting these in authority. They kept the faith. They kept the strength. They gave the second mile. They walked another mile. They were kind and merciful to them, even those who were controlling of them. They followed Jesus at His word. You know what Jesus said to Simon Peter, who raised his sword and he tried to smite the servant of the high priest, cut his ear off? Jesus healed his ear according to Luke. But nevertheless, he turned to Simon Peter and said, "Put up thy sword into its sheath." They who live by that sword will perish by that sword. You be a fighter, fighter, fighter. Nobody will approach you. They'll know that they're in for a fight. You be a fighter. And someday there will be that person who fights. Someday you'll meet that individual. You'll be known as one who fought until you met someone who fought better. Or who was dirtier in their battle. And as a result, you may be the fighter, he may be the individual who is the bomber. And all of a sudden things have changed. Why live that way? When we can be poor people who are merciful and kind to others, and someone respects us highly and respects us and will come to our side, who will be the people that draw helpers to their side and resist those who are battle hungry and who are rough housing on us? Well, people who have mercy will have a ton of people to defend them, protect them, help them, be with them. And that's what the Lord requires of us. He requires that we love mercy. And we do love it when we extend it to us. And when we extend it to others, they love it. And it's a wonderful way to live. Merciful. What else does the Lord require of us? Do justly. Do what's right. That word just is a courtroom word. It means to just. It means to make right, to declare right. The idea of someone who brings extenuating circumstances to a courtroom of law and says, "Yes, I did this particular deed, but here's why I did this deed. Here's what helped me do this deed. This is what was happening." The extenuating circumstances are weighed into the balances of all that. And thus the verdict is rendered in a just way, a right way. Maybe it's not the extreme punishment that the individual otherwise would have faced. Maybe it's not the extreme time of incarceration or jailing that that individual would have. Because justice, right doing, has been extended to them. When we look to others and we think about the lives of others, and we walk with them in such a way to do right, they know we're going to do right. How does that make us feel in our relationship one to another? People we can trust, people whom we can work and labor. People that if they're not doing right, we can talk to. Please say, I thought you would do something else about this situation. I thought you'd do differently in this. Well, why do you think that? I really thought that something else was the way that was right. We can talk with them about it. When someone follows the Lord and does what is right, what is just, it's good. You have a young man, he's married by law. They have not lived together yet as husband and wife. His name is Joseph and his wife is Mary. And she is with child. Matthew 1 records for us and Luke 2 records for us the scene and the situation of the birth of the Lord. Joseph recognizes this situation, doesn't understand it. But he being a just man. What does just people do now? Well, just people make things right. They want to do what's right. They're fair. They talk about things. They consider things. What do we expect Joseph to do?